dying in the mist! Shut the doors! Shut the doors!
I'll let you know before you try to go. Now this is my own show. Not a script or flip could make me stop, so just behave. I mean, there's no escape. Let's hope you make that drop, because you really don't want to tick me off. And oh, what fun. I will tell you what to do and you will get it done. And oh, don't run. You'll find your nightmare here has only just begun. Welcome to my horror show. Now it's starting 3D. Oh, I bet you thought you'd seen the last of me. Are you reading the walls? Did you get my clues? There's a debt to repay you for now. You'll do.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. Me and Benji here at the Horror for Dummies, and we're about to get ready for all the Horror for Dummy Maniacs. So say your prayers and take your vitamins.
I can't remember what else he says. Oh, it's been a while since Hulk Hogan's been in
the show.
Oh, and back to the wrestling intros.
It was going so well.
I know.
His hand was screeching hot.
And I had it all in my head ready to go, and I have to fuck it up. That's the second time I fucked it up. I'm not going good, man.
That's okay, man. That's okay. It was still better than I could have done.
Thanks, dude. Oh, we're back again for another week. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm getting there.
Still feeling it?
Yeah.
Still a bit dusty?
Yeah.
Hey.
So for you people who are wondering why I'm dusty, Ben got me completely shit-faced last weekend.
I still don't understand how it's my fault at all. I got invited to Tim's place for drinks. Tim had his own drinks, and at no point did I make him do any shots nor pour any drinks down his throat. But somehow it is my fault.
I'm sorry, who got the second bottle of vodka?
I may have bought another bottle of vodka for us.
Yes.
At no point did I make you drink it, though. I just provided the option.
It's because you can drink like a fish, and I'm a bitch.
I'm so glad you heard him here, people. He admitted it. He admitted it.
Hey, I'll admit it.
That's all right. I spewed too.
Did you? Where?
In your garden,
oh,
remember?
That's right.
Because there were seedy ciders left in your fridge, and I didn't realise how nasty they were. I tried to drink one, and then apparently there were floaties in it.
Oh, that's fucked up.
So that came back up pretty fucking quick. I do remember standing there pissed as hosing down your wall, but... Because I'm a good friend.
So what we were doing is we're recording a special episode for Horror for Dummies featuring the movie Jaws. And we did an audio commentary track where we watched the movie and break it down scene for scene. While doing that, and I listened to it back the other day, and you can hear our slow decline of how we go from all right to completely fucked. You can't even barely understand us at the end of
that
it.
That does not surprise me.
So you'll hear that soon enough. I got woken up the next morning by Jaleesa, who was furious at me. The reason being is apparently I stood in our bedroom and vomited everywhere, then stepped in said vomit.
Then all exorcist on it.
Yeah. And then and this was chunky as fuck. There was hardly any fluid. And I know this because I saw it the next day on my T-shirt. Anyway, I stepped in the vomit and told Jaleesa to clean my foot. to which she did, and this is coming from Jaleesa's mouth. She cleaned up my foot, and then apparently I stepped in it again.
That sounds exactly like drunk Tim.
Yeah. The next day, I had to go to church for my son's baptism.
Yes.
And I was standing at the what do you call it, the altar?
Yeah, yeah.
Where the dude was, and I was sweating. Fucking bullets.
Yeah, it was a fucking hot day anyway. But being hungover as a motherfucker didn't help.
And on top of that, dude, am I wrong? The priest looked like Jigsaw.
Yeah, he did actually. That made it super creepy.
And then he started talking about trapdoors and stuff.
Yeah, he did actually. He started joking about all that sort of shit. And I was like, people, listen to him. He's not joking. Yeah. This is going to happen.
Dude, I'm hungover as shit. This guy looks like Jigsaw starting talking about fucking trapdoors. Yeah. I started
and
to
he
think,
starts poking your kid in the forehead.
Yeah. I started to think, did someone spike my drink last night? Am I hallucinating right now?
Fuck
yeah, no. So I took the Monday off because I'm 30 now. I don't think I can do it anymore. I really don't.
I don't know what he's complaining about, though. I woke up in the horror room here where we record Horror for Dummies, not having a fucking clue where I was to start with, went inside, then also had to go home, get ready, and go to the church,
yeah.
Because I was one of the two, or one of the four people, as it were,
yeah.
That got the honour of being a godparent for your son, so I was part of this as well. True. I don't know what you're complaining about.
That's because you're like 5 years younger than me.
5 years younger? Yeah. Keep going.
Whatever,
fucking grandpa. 30, you're being a bit generous on yourself, aren't you?
Funny.
42.
All right, enough about our shenanigans on the weekend.
I thought it was fun, but...
You know what sucks is we got another secret episode that we're recording this week with drinks.
Well, now we can't record it. It's not a secret anymore.
Well, they don't know what we're doing. They will find out later in this episode.
That's true. That's true. And as long as there's beers.
Let me just say that Cake Wolf has done a drink for this movie, and I'm not really looking forward to doing this drink, but yeah. God damn it, I'm going to do it.
That's right.
You'll find out later in the episode what movie we're doing.
We have to do these things, and Cake Wolf, you'll be proud. Or horrified, I'm not sure which.
Probably horrified, because we'll be recording that shit.
Yeah, don't worry, we'll send you the video first.
Anyway, let's kick into it. This show has been brought to you by the Padded Room Podcast, our good friends over there. Check them out at patternroom.podbean.com. I did it again. Along with Cake Wolf, Matthew Fish Gold. We like him.
We also like him.
Yes, very good.
That's right.
All right, Benjamin, let's get into it. Oh, he was close. Yeah, let's jump into our first segment, which is Listener Mail.
Listener Mail.
So tell me, Tim, how's our mailbag looking this week?
You beat me to it. It's pretty full. Look at this picture.
It shouldn't be full after looking at that. That's really weird.
It's a gremlin getting fucked. I sent this to the Padded Room Podcast. shit. I'm sorry, folks. I'm getting there. Benjamin, would you take us away with our first messenger?
I would.
You know his name. Alan! Alan Chacha! That's right. Our co-host.
That's right.
He comes with a few messages. He says, "Spears are cool. I have an 8-foot-long boat spear from Cold Steel. I like weapons."
I did read that message, and I was a little confused, really. I didn't know if there was something that you guys were talking about before that.
I think I mentioned I have a spear gun on last week's episode.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That would explain. I knew it had to link in somehow.
Yeah.
I was just a little bit confused as to the actual context. I was like, okay, thanks, Alan.
Yeah, so I go spear fishing sometimes, so I think that's where it...
Yeah.
I can't remember.
We must have mentioned it.
Well, he's got this one there. He says, "Open Water is a dumb movie. It was so boring. It could have been great at like 30 minutes. So we must have been talking about Open Water last week. Fuck, I cannot remember.
Yeah,
since you poisoned me.
Oh, fuck off, you big sook. Horror for pansies.
Oh. Alan, I agree 100% with you. Open Water is fucking boring. You do see a nice set of tits in there, though.
I stayed at a glass of water the other day. It was really boring.
Very good.
Nothing happened.
He also comes in. "I love The Witch. Shell thinks it's garbage. She hates that movie with a passion." Well, nah. "I think it could be a prequel to Lords of Salem." Yeah. A very, very early prequel, if you get it. No, I love The Witch, and it's not the Witch. It's the Witch. That's because it's like...
Yeah, I know. The W is broken into like two V's.
Yeah, so people like The Witch. It's like, shut up. You're an idiot. He continues. "Shell, Jesse, and I loved the show Scream." Oh, shit. Someone else loved it. I didn't think there was many out there. "I don't know how I feel about the reboot MTV's doing." Yeah, I agree. I probably won't watch it because they just fucking took away the characters that I liked and hated and didn't get to see die and are not even giving me an explanation. It's the My Name is Earl theory where they fucking ripped that show off. It's not fair. Paley, not sure how it's spelled. "I agree. I like Graves Misfits better than Danzig Misfits."
Yeah,
there
nice.
You go. And
nice.
after learning what Graves does and what Danzig does, yeah, I'm on board.
There you go. Now you get it.
Yeah. I need to get into Misfits. I listen to more Misfits.
Yeah, I must admit, I've listened to them like here and there, but I've never like really had a good run at getting into them.
Yeah,
I've just sort of more heard songs that other friends songs. Listen to.
Yeah,
and gone, yeah, that's a cool song. I'll throw that on my playlist, but I've never actually like gone and bought an album or something.
Yeah, neither.
Which I really should. I've just been listening to too much Megadeth lately.
Oh, yuck, why?
Because after our conversation about it the other week, I was I shit you not, man.
Oh, why?
I got the Big Four DVD, the Megadeth disc, just sitting on my TV cabinet right now because I was watching it the other night.
Fucking hell.
I just put the idea in my head and I was like, yeah, I feel like listening to Megadeth.
I feel sorry for you. Love and Sandwiches, Alan Chacha. P.S. I'm not a huge fan of the Scream movies. I understand their importance, but I just don't love them.
That's a fair comment.
Yeah, I understand. I feel like there's a lot of people who are like that.
Yeah.
So,
I suppose, exactly, man. As long as you, like, you understand the importance of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Still doesn't mean you have to like it.
Yeah. It's not like you didn't like The Lost Boys.
Oh, there it is. I knew that.
All right, guess who...
You got me drunk. You don't like The Lost Boys. I'm Tim. I'm a big loser.
Stop bitching.
Huh?
All right.
And stop speaking.
All right. A returning Ryan emailed us. Subject line, give me a break. Okay. Hey, Tim and not Tim. Give me a break on not writing in.
Well, no, you gave us a break on not writing in,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Jesus, Ryan.
I'm working two jobs at the moment, for fuck's sakes.
That's rough, bro.
Yeah, it is. Anyways, I want you to find a couple of movies that can be paired up to the song Because Boobs by Psychostic.
I haven't heard the band, but I like the sound of the song.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's all about boobs.
I'd hope so.
This is going to be... let's be serious. It's going to be pretty easy. Boobs and horror movie go hand in hand.
You're going to get your mate Linnea in on this, aren't you?
Oh, we haven't done Night of the Demons, and there is a really interesting boob part in that.
Is it just boobs?
No. No, she does something with her boobs.
Well, that's weird.
Something that... I don't know if it's a turn on or a turn off. I won't lie, I've wanked to it.
She's got weird demon nipples, hasn't she?
No.
No?
No, she does something with her nipples.
Okay.
We'll watch it one day.
I'm intrigued.
All right, fuck it. That's one of the choices now.
All right.
Night of the Demons up against another movie that has boobs.
Jeez. Narrow the list.
Jeez, I better think about 2,000-3,000 horror movies now.
We better research into this before we narrow the list.
All right, thanks, Ryan. Our last person to come in is our good friend Cake Wolf.
How many shots do you have to have by now, according to Paley's drinking rule?
Fuck off, I haven't said it. Have I?
You just said our last person to come in.
Oh, for fuck's sake. a last person to jump in. Cake Wolf.
You already said it. Anyway.
He writes in. So I keep hearing you say how there's no good 90s horror. If you're willing, I'd like to introduce you to my top 3 90s horror hidden gems. Ooh. I'd really dig hearing your thoughts. I'd like to turn your mind around on the 90s. Here's one to start with. Dark Waters, 1993. That's it. He hasn't given us two more, so...
He's just going one by one.
Well, fucking hell. Are they just going each episode?
Huh?
Each episode, yeah. Are they? Okay.
He doesn't want your mind to explode with greatness. He's just going to ease you into it.
Yeah, right. All right. Let's make you watch 90s horror movie. Hey, for the next year, let's go and watch 90s horror movies. And what I mean is, yes, there are some gems in the 90s. Candyman for one, Scream is one. That's all at the top of my head. But overall, like, seriously, can you seriously say the 90s was a great decade for horror movies? Like, compared to the 80s. Even the thousands. There is so much more good content compared to the 90s.
Fair enough.
Anyway, he writes in again. A Doink Killer Clown movie, a Gold Dust Mummy movie, Undertaker. He spelled it in capitals.
Nice.
There's a lot of possibilities for horror wrestling films. My question to both of you is, what would be your top 3 horror/wrestling movies, and what would a brief premise be for each? Also, I love wrestling horror films. Have you guys ever watched any classic Santo films? If you haven't, you need to now! No, I don't know what Santo is. He... Apparently, he gave us a whole list of movies to check out. Okay, they're from, like, enough. The 60s.
Yeah, nice.
Okay. Now, I didn't understand this question at first, but I messaged him back saying, dude, did you want us to, like, get, like, already made movies and incorporate wrestlers into them? Or make up a new story? And he goes, whatever you want. So I just went with movies that are already out and somehow put a wrestler in them.
Oh, okay.
He said whatever you want, so I just did it, whatever.
Yeah, okay. And what'd you come up with?
I got a few. Some of these are going to include spoilers, like this one right now. Anyone who hasn't seen Get Out may want to turn it off or make loud noises while I'm talking. So basically, it's the same premise as Get Out in... Oh, you haven't seen Get Out, have you?
I'll just sit here and make loud noises.
Okay.
La, 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 loud noises, I can't hear you.
You look like the biggest fucking retard. Close your ears.
Now you know what I'm looking at.
Close your ears.
Close my ears?
Yes, that's right. Fold up your earphones. So basically, it's the same premise. I'm going to make this spoil-free so Benjamin can't hear. Same premise, but instead of a normal, typical black guy, it's The Rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that what they're doing with every movie now?
Pretty much, yeah. another one is Predator. Okay. But instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And instead of the Predator, it's Kevin Nash.
What? That's random.
It would be random, but think how funny that'd be.
We've seen that though.
Huh?
We've seen Kevin Nash versus Stone Cold.
Yeah, I know, but it'd be awesome to see again.
Okay. Another one I got now, I made a bit of a story. You haven't seen the movie Trollhunter, have you?
Negative.
Okay. So, whoever has seen Trollhunter out there, you might understand what I'm talking about. So, basically, the premise of Trollhunter is I can't even remember what country it's from. There's a such thing as trolls, and they actually live in this world. And the story is revolving around this guy who hunts trolls and stuff like that. So, this hunter comes face to face with one of the biggest trolls out there. So after a while of fighting, he realizes that he cannot do this anymore, and he needs some help. So he calls in his friend. While this troll is circling him, ready to grab him. You hear some music break down in the distance. Well, it's the big show. And then the big show comes forth, and it's the biggest troll versus the big show. And that's my top three wrestling horror films. They're probably shit. This is why I'm not a screenwriter. All right, so... Nice. And another one. If anyone knows, like, wrestling now, there's a wrestler called Braun Strowman who's basically... Now's version of the big show. Brawn of the Dead. Huh?
Whoa.
Yeah. Alright, so thank you to all who emailed us. If you would like to email us and tell us what's up, you can do that at horrorfordummies@hotmail.com or the Facebook page. Just message us, whatever. We'll see it and we'll talk about it on the show. Alright, Benjamin, I believe that you have a question to be answered.
I do, Timothy.
Yeah,
I
he do. Does. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
It's time for Question of the Week!
Ben's Question of the Week.
Alrighty, friends. Here we are for another round of Question of the Week.
Yay.
I asked, you answered. Let's see what you've said.
Coming in
first, Chris Schaefer with The Grudge.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Still the scariest movie I've ever seen. Truthfully, this movie horrifies me still.
I agree. It scared the crap out of me when I watched it. When I got into bed, I refused to lift the covers.
Yeah, I know the scene you're talking about. Just that noise, man. Fuck
yeah. Yeah, I know. And the fact that Todd's so good at it and haunted you with it.
Yeah. We'll have to do that one day.
Yes, we will. Okay, our good friend Sam Day, 1982 Poltergeist.
Oh.
Yeah,
wasn't expecting that, actually.
Nice. Mr. Cakewolf himself, Hellraiser 2.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a good one.
And his question to me is, what's your favourite sexy movie?
Debbie Does Dallas.
I'm going to have to PM you that one, my friend.
Just tell it now. What is it?
I don't know.
You're on Amy's sex tapes.
Yeah. Yeah, Amy didn't turn up. It was just me. It was just really awkward. It's just feel myself having a wank.
And you watch his back. Oh, Ben, that's a nice dick you got there.
I know, right? And then I wank to me having a wank. It's fucking weird, as it's in wankshin.
This is getting strange, man.
I know. You wanted it to go there. Alrighty, Geordie Van Vuklis, Psycho, 1960.
Classic.
The Big D! Night of the Living Dead, 1968.
Another classic.
Yeah, nice. Ryan Sorkness, Paranormal Sex Activities.
Okay.
Fair enough,
that's his sexy movie.
Fair enough.
We said favourite movie,
and then
not...
he said, I mean 30 Days of Night.
Okay.
That's okay, they're pretty close titles, I can understand how you get those confused.
30 Days of Night's a bad motherfucker.
Beck Rocha, my sister-in-law, thinks hers is actually The Conjuring.
Well,
that's a pretty solid choice.
If she listens to episode whatever number of Conjuring was,
yeah,
she would
episode
enjoy that
Conjuring.
One. Yeah.
Okay, Ms. Monica, The Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair call.
She also likes Cabin Fever, I know that. Cabin Fever is cool.
I haven't seen it.
The original, not the fucking shit remake.
Okay. Fair enough. Alex Montgomery loves 28 Days Later.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Our friend Jordan James Huxley, Halloween for sure.
The original, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he does love that.
Okay.
And then, Alan Cha-Cha! Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 74.
The original.
The original.
The one that you shadow over.
That's right. Unfortunate.
What's yours? I'm going to guess it's Halloween, but is there any one that's changed your mind since I've shown you?
I don't know, hey. Train to Busan's pretty up there.
Nice. Would it beat Halloween?
I don't know if it'd beat Halloween, purely for my nostalgic love of Halloween as well. Like, I've watched it many times, and I love those movies, so having something I've only watched once so far overtake it, probably not.
Yeah.
But, it's definitely right up there now. That movie's fucking kick-ass.
That's why I don't think anything will beat Jaws, because it has the nostalgia.
Yeah, that's right, man. Once you sort of get attached to the idea, it sort of just stays there.
Yeah. And you all know my favorite movie. You know what I do for a living.
That's right. Okay, so that was it for our last question of the week, which brings us to our question of the week for this week, friends.
Yeah.
What was it? I forgot. We can edit that part in.
Huh? Stephen King.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. So the question for this week that I want to put forward to all of you in honour of the movie that we are watching for this week.
That's right.
What is your favourite Stephen King movie?
Good fucking question. And
there's a fair few choices there, so it'll be interesting to see what comes in.
Man, I've got five on the top of my head that I really can't decide upon.
Is that including the new It?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd be surprised.
Two of them aren't actually horror.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, nice. Well, that's true. I mean, he covers a large genre. It doesn't all necessarily have to be.
Yep. Do you want me to tell you right now what they are?
Yes.
Okay. Just quickly, so It from 2017, Misery from 1990.
Yes.
Actually, I'm going to stop giving you the years because I can't remember. The Shawshank Redemption from, I believe, 93. The Green Mile from 99. Ooh. And it's actually a toss-up between two films.
Yeah.
One I won't reveal, and another one is Stand By Me. So that's three that aren't horror.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Oh, fuck.
And they're all fucking solid choices as well.
Yeah, but then you got Kerry and the one that I'm not going to name.
The list goes on. Mm. But anyway, so as usual, let us know your answers and we'll read them out next week for the question of the week.
Yeah, you do that.
Yeah, do that.
All right, let's jump into it.
Oh, there it is.
I'm getting there.
I can see you actually stop and like pull yourself up from it.
Let's jump into our next segment. Feature presentation.
And now for our feature presentation.
We're talking about a little bit of a mist. Now I've got to say, Ben, it's been a week since we recorded and I kind of missed you.
Oh, stop it. Just stop it.
Did you forget about me?
I could never forget about you.
Are these shit? Or are they working?
What?
These puns, are they shit?
That's the beauty of a good pun, is that they are shit.
Oh, okay. Good. All right. So,
oh, fantastic.
We are doing The Mist from 2007, not the TV series, the Frank Darabont film. So, if you haven't seen The Mist, I highly suggest you right now turn this off, go watch the film, because we are going to spoil the shit out of this film.
Yeah, we are.
And it's not one that you want spoiled, I'll tell you that much.
Also true.
So, I'll give you a second. All right, the plot is... A beef.
Yeah. Fucking hell. I think we watched different movies.
Yeah. A brief dramatic thunderstorm is followed by a freak mist that descends on a small New England town. As the mist permeates the town, people congregate in the local supermarket and hardware store to stock up and gather supplies. David Drayton, his son, and his neighbor are among them. Tensions build as a steady stream of military vehicles pass through the mist, headed south from a nearby base. But serious concern doesn't start until one of the locals runs to the supermarket with blood spatters on his clothing and talking of monsters in the mist. And he's screaming, "Someone took John Lee! Something in the mist took John Lee!" And that seriously sounds like the best country song I've ever heard.
It does, eh? There's something in the mist, it took old Johnny Lee.
All right, so this comes out at a 7.2 out of 10 on IMDb, which is a pretty good score for a horror film, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
All right, now, Benjamin, first time watch? It is, isn't it?
Yes, first time watch.
And you knew nothing about
nothing about this film except it involved some kind of mist. That's about all I knew.
Wow, so you've stayed hidden from this film for...
I think we've established I've been living under a horror rock.
All right, well, the film as a whole...
Yes.
Do you rate it?
Absolutely.
Oh, you liked it?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess. So, we'll get into the question that I want to answer you in a second, but before we do that, we have to go through the cast and crew of this film.
Let's do that.
All right. The cast.
Yes.
It stars Thomas Jane as David Drayton.
Frank Castle, Punisher.
Yeah. Also in Deep Blue Sea.
Yes.
Laurie Holden as Amanda Dunfree.
Andrea.
She... Yeah, very good. Andrea from The Walking Dead.
I've got like a list of all the people I recognise because there's so many people in this movie that I recognise from heaps of other stuff.
Yeah.
And a bulk of them are actually from The Walking Dead.
That's because Frank Darabont directed this and he was the first one on The Walking Dead, so...
That would explain
things.
And
those actors kind of follow Frank Darabont around.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Especially Jeffrey Duman, who plays Dan Miller. He's the one running out of the mist screaming, "There's something in the mist, got yes. John Lee!" You'll know him as Dale from The Walking Dead. William Sadler, who plays Jim. You know him from the... Oh, fucking everything. Demon Knight, The Shawshank Redemption. I believe he was in The Green Mile as well?
Jim.
He's the mechanic dude? Yes.
Is he not also in Die Hard 2?
I haven't seen Die Hard 2.
Okay, well then don't you answer that. But I'm fairly certain he's the bad guy in Die Hard 2 also.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
He was super shredded in that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me because this guy is in so much stuff.
Yeah.
He's in heaps. Toby Jones, who plays Ollie Weeks.
Yes.
He did the voice for Dobby from Harry Potter.
He sure did.
Oh, okay.
The voice of Dobby from Harry Potter.
How'd you know that?
Huh?
How'd you know that?
Because I looked it up. Because I recognised him and I was like, hey... I recognised him from something else. I didn't know he actually did Dobby. I recognised him. He's actually in an episode of Doctor Who.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But I couldn't quite
British.
Put my finger on it. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. So I Googled it, and I was like, yeah. And then I looked at everything else he was doing, and I was like, holy shit, he was Dobby. He's a free elf.
Yeah. He's about the size of an elf as well.
Yeah. And Dobby probably looks better.
All right. Andre Braugher. How would you pronounce that?
Yeah, Braugher's pretty fair.
All right. He plays Brent, the neighbour.
Yes. Captain Holt, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Fucking hell. All right, you're beating me with this shit. Marsha Gay Harden.
Marsha.
She plays Mrs. Carmody.
Yes.
And we will talk about her
yes,
a lot.
Yes, we will. She was also in Flubber.
Oh, yuck.
Just throwing it out there where you recognise him.
Frances Sturhagen as Irene, the can thrower Repler. She was one of my favourite characters,
yes,
just because of the can she threw.
The can. And I got a lot of peas.
And I forgot all about that scene when watching this.
That's
time.
The fucking best.
Nathan Gamble as Billy Drayton, who's the son.
Yes.
Then we got Chris Owen as Norm, the Shermanator.
The Shermanator.
Yeah.
And, I couldn't help it. I actually said to myself when I saw him on screen, I went, Sherman, what the fuck are you doing here? I thought I was hilarious.
That guy's a lot like Sean William Scott, as in, like, he won't be known as anything else besides...
But the role. Yeah. Sean William Scott is just Stifler.
He's always Stifler.
No one even knows his real name. They just go, fuck, Stifler.
Yeah, it's like Vince Vaughn. He's known as Boring.
Ooh.
Oh, no, sorry. Ooh. Sorry. He's known as Annoying. Owen Wilson's known as Boring.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Have you seen that turtle clip of the turtle going, wow?
Have you seen the clip of, like, it's out of Star Wars, and it's the lightsaber fight, and every hit is replaced by a wow from Owen Wilson?
So fucking good.
So fucking good.
All right, last but not least, because there is a bit, and I didn't get everyone down, but Sam Witwer as Private Jessup.
Private Jessup.
He's the military guy.
Yes, the military dude.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so this
He's
is...
in a fair few other things as well, eh?
I didn't actually know.
I
didn't
picture him. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I know he's definitely from other things. I have seen him before.
Yeah?
Not to mention, on the side note, there's also the chick who played Carol in The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, Melissa McBride.
Yes.
She also didn't die in this movie, which is a disgrace, because I really hate Carol.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
Do you actually hate Carol in The Walking Dead?
Yes. And I found it ironic that Carol's massive complaint in The Walking Dead is looking for her kid. And then the first thing she's doing in this movie is looking for her kid. You are a shit acting mum, get your shit together! Fucking rubbish human.
She shouldn't be a mum.
People should stop giving her fake kids, honestly.
Yeah, and stop looking old. Daryl's not going to fuck you. Alright, this is directed by Frank Darabont. Do you know that name at all?
Only because you said it about 30 seconds ago.
Okay. So Frank Darabont is probably up there as one of my favourite directors.
Oh, cool.
He's written and directed so much shit. But what he's directed is The Green Mile, Shawshank Redemption. He's written The Blob remake, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, which is probably my favourite in the series. I changed that after watching Nightmare 1 again.
Okay, fair enough.
And The Walking Dead. He's directed and written parts in it. He's not...
Yeah, cool.
I don't think he's involved with that anymore. I think he got let go a long time ago, but that's when the TV series started to die.
Yeah, that's kind of boring.
Yeah, pretty much. Of course, this is written by Stephen King, who is probably the best writer of horror out there.
Yes.
Clive Barker would come up close, but I reckon Stephen King, in my opinion, Stephen King is better. Well, he's more known.
Yeah,
I can say that.
Absolutely.
Greg Nicotero did the effects of this.
Greg Nicotero, also the same Greg Nicotero from The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
So a funny thing about Greg Nicotero.
Aha.
So last Saturday, before the drinking and shit went down, sitting there, getting it all ready, get the microphone ready and stuff like that, and Jaleesa runs out with my phone going, here's a phone call for you. I answer it, and it's like, oh, is this Tim? In a nice American accent. And I'm like, yes. He's like, this is Greg Nicotero. Now, before I continue the story, I know a lot of you people are going, you're full of shit. Greg Nicotero did not call your phone call, but let me just explain what happened. So, over the weekend was Walker Stalker for Australia. And I really wanted to go, but fuck me, Dad, it's expensive. It's like, okay, I got $100 to get in the door. Then to meet people. Now, they touched on this, Darian touched on this in the padded room, that over there, to meet someone, it's like $10.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah.
Is it so much if over here because I've got to fly all the
way
out?
I think so. Basically, okay, so when I met Robert Englund and Ken Kersinger, like Freddy versus Jason, to get a photo with Robert Englund and an autograph, it cost me $200. $100 for each.
That's a fucking stitch up, eh?
It's
like, people
bullshit.
Already pay to get in the door.
Yeah.
And you've got people going there because they want to support the industry and support, like, what you're supposed to be representing.
Exactly.
But then they want to charge you that much for it as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, fucking, why don't we just bend over?
Yeah. So, the rumor was like they had everyone there except like Rick. That Rick wasn't invited. But they had Norman Reedus, who's Daryl. They had Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who was Negan. They're the two people that I really wanted to meet. But of course, they were charging like $150 just to fucking say hello to them. So I was like, no, you know, fuck this. I've got a wedding to plan. I'm not fucking going. Anyway, what ended up happening is like a week before Walker Stalker came, Norman Reedus and Jeffrey Dean Morgan both cancelled.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Sam, our friend, she was fuming.
Yeah.
Because that's the only reason she wanted to go.
I'll bet.
But because they cancelled, they had to like get new people in. And Greg Nicotero was one of the people who came. And I'm a big fan of Greg Nicotero. So if I knew he was going to be there, I probably would have fucking gone. But because I told my friend Sam that he was there, I said, please go say hello to him. I've told him all his credentials. He's done fucking everything, man. Predator, Freddy, Jason, he's done a lot. Not just Walking Dead. So anyway, Sam went and met him, because he was like one of the cheap ones, because no one fucking knows who he is, unless you're a horror fan. So she went and met him, and she's like, oh, my friend told me like he couldn't make it. So he said, call him now and I'll talk to him. So she called him, he got on the phone, and the first thing he said to me is like, because apparently it rang for a while, because I was in another room. He goes, if this went to voicemail, I was going to leave you an abusive message. Which is like, fuck, that's sick. But he ended up signing a picture for me, which would have cost $40. But he did it for free. Because Greg Nicotero is a sick cunt.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's a little bit story of Greg Nicotero. Anyway, back to the mist.
Yes.
All right, so... So let's talk about the characters.
Yes.
So this is... this to me is a very character-driven film.
Absolutely.
It's not really, and hear me out. It's not really a film about the monsters, but the monsters that human can become when the shit hits the fucking fan.
Exactly what I was thinking when I was watching it.
Yeah.
It's because obviously being called The Mist and stuff, I was sort of expecting a lot of monster action and shit like that.
Yeah.
And to start with, when it wasn't happening, I was kind of like, come on, do something cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then. For a little, there's like a tiny little lull between the mist setting in and the people starting to sort of lose their shit, so to speak. And then, once that starts happening, that starts getting really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seeing what people can resort to in such a short amount of time and when they're, basically when fear's involved as well. Fear, the great motivator.
Yeah, that's right. And they say it numerous times in the movie that it's only been 2 days.
Yeah.
And look what they're sacrificing, what they're trying to sacrifice people
exactly.
And stuff like that.
It's not like they've been in there for 3 weeks or anything.
Yeah, exactly. But I kind of gave each character a nickname because there is like a real...
It is a long cast list.
It is. Oh, and there's a lot more than what I did. But I kind of gave like everyone a nickname. Yep. Like, so we'll go down the list. So David Drayden is the dad.
Yep.
Amanda is... I put her as a love interest. Because I could see that between her and the dad escalating further and further if they continue.
You could sort of see that happening, which I thought was weird, though, because he was, like, happily married. I sort of thought it was, like, a random side note for that.
Yeah,
more so, like, her into him than it was him into her.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So we got Dan, who's the one with the bleeding nose. He's the warner. He's the one that warns everyone.
Yep, nice.
Jim.
The mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Judas.
Very cool.
He turned on everyone.
Fucking earth he did.
Ollie, the unusual tough guy.
Also true.
Brent, the neighbour, the villain.
Ooh.
Hear me out. Mrs. Carmody, the bigger villain.
Satan.
Yeah, pretty much. the can thrower. That's all I got.
That's the best. I love her.
We got Billy as the child, Norm as the first victim, and Private Jessup as the sacrifice.
Fair enough.
So, out of those characters,
yes,
favorite and least favorite. Actually, just tell me your favorite because I can pretty much guess who your least favorite was.
Who?
Probably the same as mine.
Who?
Mrs. Carmody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes and no.
Are you saying no because...
I fucking hated her. I really, really hated her.
Yeah.
But in a way, that kind of makes her an amazing character because I hated her so much.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
So, yes. But in personal preference, I was actually a big fan of Ollie in this movie.
Yeah.
Ollie's a mad dog.
He is. Ollie and the can thrower.
Yeah.
Only because
the can throw for just like pure comedy, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that she was ballsy enough to go to the pharmacy.
Yeah.
Fucking wicked old lady just going with all these dudes.
I love it how like people are holding back and she's like, I had talking to Jim, I had you in fourth.
Yeah, she like guilts him into it. Yeah. Like she's an underachiever.
Yeah. So brutal.
So savage, but so good. No, but yeah, Ollie was sick.
Yeah, he was. He was. And you would not expect, like, the first time you saw him, you would think he's one of the first victims.
Yeah, you think he'd be the first victim and he's going to be some quiet dude who, like, loses his mind and starts killing people or something.
Yep.
Doing something weird, but he's not. He's, like, one of the strongest characters in the whole movie.
Yeah, that's right. And on the top of my head, he probably has the worst, and when I say worst, I mean the death that I don't want the most out of everyone. How he gets the, basically snipped in half by a big crab creature.
Yeah, yeah.
Crab people.
I don't know what's worse though, that or the bug sting to the neck.
It depends, like the bug sting to the neck, that can take time and you don't know how she's feeling.
That's what I mean.
The snip, just the thought of being snipped in half makes
me suck, but at least it'll be over quick.
True. Oh, would it? They say your heart still beats 7 minutes afterwards.
Well, after getting cut in half.
I don't know about cut in half, but like something like that. That's in the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. Yeah. yeah, but I agree with you. Is there anyone, any character that you just found wasn't used enough?
Wasn't used enough.
Like didn't use them to their full potential. There is one for me.
Yeah. I feel like the neighbor could have probably been used more.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Like he was a cool character and I could understand the point he was making. Like, you know, he's this big, highly educated New York lawyer. He didn't want to believe it to start with.
Yeah.
But then, like, as soon as he doesn't believe it, he just walks outside and that's the last you see of him. You don't... You assume he died. Like, I just... That's a fairly safe assumption.
Yeah.
But you never see him again. It's not like he comes running back or it's not like he breaks off in the supermarket and makes his own, like, little faction or anything like that. I feel like they just didn't really do much with him. It was sort of like he was just getting started and then disappeared.
Uh-huh. This is actually one of my dislikes.
Yeah?
The main dislike I have of this movie. So, yes. So the start of the movie, it builds up to them two.
Yes.
Like, you already know they have heat. Then they become friends. And then they start to fight again once he doesn't believe it. But then it never really escalates to anything. What I think would have been better is if... I don't know... If he walked out of the store, then saw the monster, then looked back at David with a face like, fuck, I'm sorry, yeah. And then got killed.
Yeah, that would have been cooler.
I just found it such a waste of a full subplot point.
Yeah, agreed.
Of the movie. I really, yeah. That brought down a couple of marks in my books.
Yeah.
Truth be told. So yeah, we're on the same page, actually.
Yeah, nice. This is good.
Another thing that I felt wasn't... Now, this is not much of a dislike but a nitpick. One thing they didn't really do was David and the wife.
I also thought that's why I mentioned before when you said as a love interest I was kind of like
yeah no like, I get you.
I get the point you're making and I agree they showed way more sort of chemistry between him and her in the supermarket but they didn't really you'd think like David would have been like more worried about his wife trying to find out what happened or done something. He just sort of assumes she'll be okay, even though you left a gaping hole in the side of your house during all this.
Now, I was watching the deleted scenes of the Blu-ray, and there is one deleted scene that I think they should have actually added.
Yeah.
It's before he goes to the store, he asks his wife, he's like, do you want to come with us? And she's like, nah, I better clean up around here. He's like, oh, I'll miss you. Like, yeah. If you added that, when he sees his wife in the cobwebs, it would have just made that a little bit more...
Yeah, a little bit more, like, yeah, a little bit harsher.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I don't know.
You don't even really get the feeling like, you know, they're like randomly together for 5 minutes and then he doesn't really worry about it for the rest of the movie.
Yeah,
and you only see her for those 5 minutes. So like when he goes back and sees her in the cobwebs, you really don't care.
Yeah.
You're just sort of like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Good on you.
All right.
And then he seems to pull himself together fairly quickly after that. He cries for about 10 seconds and then just picks his head up and keeps going. You're like, all right.
And, okay, truth be told, wasn't really feeling the crying scene with him.
Which one?
When he sees his wife.
Yeah, neither. That's what I mean. That one I actually didn't really find that believable.
See, the thing is, Tom, I really, really like Thomas Jane as an actor.
Yeah, so do I.
I liked him a lot of stuff. I really think he's really, really talented. But I feel like this movie is one of his weakest.
I would actually agree with that.
Yeah.
Because even Amy said when she was watching this, she, like, you know, she was watching the rest of the movie, but she said, like, because she's seen The Punisher, I think, once, but she doesn't really remember it, and she said to me, is he a better actor in The Punisher? I was like, yes, much better.
Okay, he came out with a movie called 1922, which is another Stephen King adaptation, yeah. And he was incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't rate the movie that much, but his acting was unreal.
Yeah.
In this, even in Deep Blue Sea, it was a stupid role, but he did it well.
Yeah.
In this one, I think it was a more serious role, but he just didn't.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Like, the wife part and the part we're going to talk about in a second really could have brought people to tears if he just put a little bit more into it.
Yeah, I agree. I sort of feel he fell short on that one.
Yeah. All right. The time has come. And I ask you, okay, I'm going to tell you right now, I love the ending. I think it works perfectly. But I understand if you don't, because there are a lot of people who hate it.
Really?
And I was actually reading... your reaction then, just tell me what you think about it. Yeah. I was actually reading a lot of reviews on IMDb of this movie last night, and people were giving it a 1 out of 10.
Just because of the ending?
Yeah, saying this is such a disappointment ending and all that stuff. I'm like, firstly, you don't give a movie a 1 just because you didn't like it.
Yeah. Or you didn't like, just didn't like the ending of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you enjoyed the entire rest of the movie except the ending, it deserves more than a 1.
Exactly. So, all right, the time has come. The ending.
Yes.
Tell me your thoughts.
I liked it.
Yeah?
I kind of almost had like a silly giggle to myself about it, because I can't help it. I always, when I watch a movie, imagine. Well, I mean, I was shocked at the first, like, the start of the ending, shall I say. You know, when the car runs out of fuel and this and that. And, you know, Amy was sitting there going, "What? Why are they talking about doing that? They haven't even tried to go anywhere." I'm like, they've seen everyone else that walked through that mist get, like, smashed in 20 seconds. Why would you possibly think walking any further is a good idea?
Yeah.
That is a terrible idea. Yeah. I would think the same thing as them.
Yeah.
Surely. But anyway, so when they were contemplating the idea of, like, capping themselves, I was like, okay, that's fair enough. That's fairly, like, expected, I guess.
Yeah.
But then when it cut to the scene of, the shot of the car, and it just went bang, 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 I was just like, holy shit, that actually just happened.
Yeah.
And that's fucked. He just capped them all, including his own son. I was like, that's so fucking brutal. That is nuts. But the part that made me have a giggle after that was like, I always think to myself, like, stupid things. I'm like, imagine if fucking the fog just cleared, like, 10 seconds after he does that. And then he heard the noise and he gets out and starts screaming, and then the tank appears, and I was like, okay, tanks are coming, it doesn't necessarily mean the problem's solved. And then the fog started clearing, and I was like, ah, that's shit! That's fucking funny as!
You're fucking ruthless.
It's fucking hilarious. It was mainly not so much what happened to him, but just the fact that one of the really stupid things I always think to myself actually happened. I was just like, oh, fuck, that's so brutal. And then he just breaks down crying. I was just like, fucking hell. You have to live with the fact of what you just did. That's terrible. It's fucking savage, eh? Yeah.
Your reaction is savage.
What?
He just shot his son in the head, and then you just said, suck shit.
Yeah, it was just because I'm fucking... I just think of weird things, and then for ones that actually happened.
Oh,
I got caught up in the
moment.
But yes, the ending itself, good twist, fucking crazy brutal.
Yeah.
Crazy brutal.
That's why a lot of people, including myself, were saying the best ending for a movie in Ben's
Very
question
surprising.
The other day.
Yeah, I know heaps of people said it.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I told Larry on the weekend that we were watching it. She was like, oh. And I was like, yeah.
She probably wanted to ask, like, tell you all about it.
No, she said she wasn't going to say anything.
She did, obviously.
Yeah.
Anyway,
which is also, incidentally, the ending in the movie is different to the ending of the book.
Oh, it is, and I'm about to tell you.
Very good.
Did you read about the ending in the book?
I sure did.
Oh, okay. Ben, this is why we have a podcast, so I can educate you. You don't have to do it by yourself.
I didn't. Amy did.
Oh, okay. So, and spoilers for the novella. If anyone hasn't read it. Such as myself. So if I'm wrong, blame the internet, not me. So the ending of the book, basically David hears a brief radio transmission, but he knows he can only make it so far with the gas, and he ends up kissing his son and whispering Hartford, which is what the radio transmission was saying, and hope to him. Basically, it just is very ambiguous ending. It leaves it very open for your mind to...
He sort of sets off looking for the new town or whatever, like, or looking for anything else.
Exactly.
Assuming that there's a radio broadcast, so someone somewhere has survived.
Yeah, and they do mention that there is a gun with only a certain amount of bullets, so it is led to believe, like...
Yeah, it hints at it, but it doesn't confirm it.
Yeah. Would you... If they did that ending in the movie, what movie would you, what ending would you have rathered?
I'd prefer the one that's in the movie.
Same. I agree.
I would have been fucking cut at that, because... I get the shits usually. Yeah, unless it's done in a very good way, I get the shits at open endings.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
So that would have just bugged me. I'm like, are you serious? I just spent 2 hours watching this movie and I still don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
Like, I'm no better off than I was 2 hours ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. Would you like to hear Stephen King's thoughts on the ending in the movie?
Yes.
Because Stephen King has been very vocal about some of his films. He is known to hate The Shining, Stanley Kubrick's Shining.
Really?
Hate it with a passion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, here's what he had to say about Frank Darabont's The Mist.
Okay.
Frank wrote a new ending that I love. It is the most shocking ending ever, and there should be a law that states if anyone spoils it, they should be hung to death.
Yeah. Nice.
And yeah, I agree with him. Stephen King's the fucking man. he like, reviews horror movies.
Nice.
On Twitter.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Incidentally... Yeah, we may have just spoiled the ending for anyone who hasn't seen it before.
Oh, I told them at the start of this.
That's true. Very good. So. Very good.
So it's your own damn fault.
We do not deserve a hanging.
That's right. All right. Well, let's get into the likes of this film.
Okay.
Now I'll start, and then you can go. We'll go point for point.
Cool.
If you have. So the story as a whole, it's a great character-driven story with interesting subplots and interesting creatures, and one hell of an ending.
Mm.
Yeah.
Agreed.
You agree?
Definitely.
All right, give me a like.
I actually liked the score in this.
Oh!
Because it was almost non-existent.
Yeah.
Which actually, it's one of those things, I've mentioned it before, I actually kind of found that very fitting for this movie. It was like during the scenes where they're just in the supermarket, there's no score. There's no background music, there's no nothing.
Yeah.
It's only when something's actually happening, like one of the bug attacks or something like that, that there's a bit of music in the background, which I feel elevates that point.
Yeah.
And the fact that there is nothing else in the background besides it shows, like, it keeps that minimal effect to it, which shows, like, the desolate, you know, nature of being in the mist.
Yeah. What about the score, like, when they're in the car on their way, like, that, how would you
explain that random, like, sort of operatic chanting?
Yes.
I thought it was good to start with, but I feel like that scene itself probably dragged on a little bit longer.
That's what I thought.
So, and that's the score itself is good, but the scene went for too long.
Yeah. So, I reckon, you know how, like, they're in the car, and they're driving past the shopping centre?
Yep.
That score for that scene there was unreal.
Awesome. Awesome.
Then once the supermarket's out of the distance,
and they're just driving along the road.
Yeah, it dies, like, down for a bit.
A flipped over bus and stuff. Yeah. You're like, okay.
Yeah, but just it dies down for a bit. Then it comes back
and then
tenfold.
It comes back. Agreed.
When I don't like it how it comes back.
No, I agree. That's what I mean.
See, I was a bit on the fence about the score.
Yeah, I kind of, yeah, as I said, I liked the way it was kept to a minimal level. I feel like that added to the feel of it.
Yeah.
And that's probably the only quandary I have with the score. Even then, the score itself, when, like, the bug attack and stuff was happening, the score itself wasn't groundbreaking music, but just the way in which it was used, I found very fitting.
Truth be told, and this is actually a plus, yes, in a way, I didn't notice the score too much.
Yes.
And I feel bad saying that.
That's
what
I
mean. That's more of a good thing.
But, yeah, that's the exact point I'm making.
Yeah.
Neither did I. I hit a certain point, and I'm like, I was looking at my notebook, and I'm like, oh shit, I haven't written anything about the score yet. And then I was thinking, and I'm like, that's because there hasn't really been one. Yeah. And once I noticed that there wasn't one, I noticed the lack of it, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So. All right. My next point is the acting. And we said it before that Thomas Jane wasn't the best, but hear me out. Now, the cast, for the most part, is very decent. Okay, you have Mrs. Carmody and the neighbor, who, in my opinion, were the standouts.
Yes.
Mrs. Carmody, she made
she's
you
like
hate
flawless
her.
On
yeah,
that,
she was kind of like, even though I'm not a fan of Game of Thrones, King Joffrey.
Yes.
Where everyone
hated her
that.
With a passion. You were like,
exactly.
just, you were like screaming at the TV for this bitch to die.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, oh, you got to feel sorry for those actors that would have to like walk down the street being like yelled at names.
Mm.
That's why the kid from King Joffrey doesn't act anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Now.
He said he's never going to act again because people can only ever see him as Joffrey now.
That's sad.
It is and it's not, because it's sad if he really, really did want to act, but at the same time, he's probably made enough money and doesn't want to act anymore. Because I feel like if he wanted to, he would keep acting.
Yeah, fuck what people say.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. Let's the neighbour, Brent, however you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
I really dug his acting.
Yeah.
He does, like, when they're trying to convince that there's something in the loading dock, and he does a face where he puts, like, his tongue under, like, it's like...
Yeah.
He puts his tongue into his cheek and stuff like that. It was so believable. Like, you could just kind of think what he was thinking. I really enjoyed. That's why I was kind of pissed off how they...
Didn't use him.
Exactly.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, yeah. For me, for the most part, the acting was really, really well done.
Yes, I agree. There were a few obvious parts where you sit there and go,
it's,
right, whatever.
We won't
but
say it's
anyway,
perfect.
Yeah, that's right. The characters themselves.
Oh.
Like, you know, the acting, they obviously did well, but the characters themselves were fucking, you know, everyone had their role to play and they played it well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That, as I said before, a character-driven movie, but I could watch more of this, more character. If you give me more, like, say another half an hour more of just the characters,
yeah.
I would have been all right with it.
Yeah, I still would have been fine with that.
Yeah. Mrs. Carmody, a lot of people hated her character. Like, said that the movie's shit because of her.
But see, that's, to me, if they're saying it's shit because they hate that character, so... You know, that means that the movie's been done well.
Uh-huh, yeah. I agree.
The whole point is to hate that character.
Mm-hmm.
If you hate her, the movie has done its job.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly right.
Therefore, movie good.
You sound like Frankenstein there.
Movie good, not bad.
But, yeah, that's why I couldn't even... write down all the actors in this movie because there's many.
Heaps, yeah.
Like, there's so many actors that only have a little part, but they make that part work.
Yeah, agree.
Like, there's a lady who was holding the son for a while, and then you just find out that she died in her sleep because she'd overdosed on something.
Yeah, well, she decided to cap herself because
she
couldn't see a way out.
Yeah, but you never, like, she makes do with what little time she has on the screen.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a lot of characters like that.
Yeah.
The biker.
Yep.
Like, there's at least five on the top of my head.
That biker was cool.
He was, eh? Yeah.
I like the way he fucking stuck it to Mrs. Carmody before he walked out as well.
Yeah.
That was sick. I believe in God, too. I just don't believe he's the bloodthirsty asshole. And then when Ollie goes to give him a knife, and he just pulls out his own massive knife instead.
He's a bad motherfucker.
It's funny though, I'm watching that, and then Amy in the background goes, "That's not a knife."
What? She can't
like,
say that.
Fuck it, no.
Alright, you did your point.
Yes.
Alright, I had the characters this one. My last point was the editing and directing.
Yes.
Yes, I know it's 2 points, but.
That's okay. I'll allow it.
So, to me, Frank Darabont really knows his way around the camera, and he knows his characters. And how to use them. Like, you look at... Okay, The Shawshank Redemption is probably one of the... Okay, on IMDb, it's the number one movie of all time.
Really?
Yep, that's voted by fans.
Fair enough.
It is in my top 100 of all time. And, yeah, so, like that, The Green Mile, like, everything he's done, he knows exactly how to use his characters.
Correct.
And the editing as well.
Yep.
Flawless, I found.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
I don't know.
There's a lot more to like in this movie than definitely. Dislike.
What do you think about the cinematography in this?
It was okay.
I agree. I thought there was one or two cool sort of shots.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, when the neighbor and a few people walk out into the mist, the way it's just a still camera shot and they just walk off and disappear.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool. That was done well. But besides that, there were some shots that were below average, and then there was the rest of it was just run of the mill.
Yeah.
Wasn't really worth taking that.
Look, it wasn't bad in any way, but I've seen better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen a lot better. But especially by Frank Darabont. Like, once again, The Shawshank Redemption, that cinematography is incredible.
Yeah.
This, maybe he knew that wasn't the
I must admit, highlight. For as far as the effects go.
Oh, okay. I forgot about this.
Yes. Some of it, and I feel like it's the main thing I want to bring up here is the CG.
Yeah.
Certain points of it were quite well done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no worries. Other points really made you just sit there and go, come on, really?
Yeah.
I feel the whole, like, tentacle scene with Norm.
Yeah,
that was
no.
fucking terribly done.
It was.
It was so badly done. The scene itself is a cool scene.
Yeah.
And especially when the fucking mouths start opening up and the tentacles and, like, ripping chunks off his leg and chest. And, like, that's cool. But the CG itself was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. And Amy and I were saying that, and I sort of said, oh, yeah, but you got to remember, this movie was made a while ago, so she Googled it, because you sometimes lose comparison of how it was, so she Googled other movies that were done that year for comparison, like, the original Transformers was done in the same year, and the CG in that is off its head.
Yeah.
Then you got these fucking
bigger budget,
tentacles. Yeah, true, I do understand that, but at the same time, it goes to show the technology was there.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It was just poorly done.
I have it, as you can see, as one of my dislikes as well.
Yeah.
But there was you got the, I don't know what you call them, the pterodactyl bird things.
Yes.
Those looked good, because they use a mix of practical and CGI.
Yes.
And that was done by Greg Nicotero, represent.
Yeah, that was cool.
So, yeah, it was just the CGI parts, but needed a lot of work.
Agreed.
But some of them, like the spiders.
Yeah.
I actually really
like
the spiders.
Yeah, I agree. I like the spiders. I like the bugs. I like the pterodactyl things. And obviously, you've got, like, the big fuck-off crab thing that's fucking... But you never really see it. So that one, you know, it's...
You can
think how hard is it to see? Well, it's probably still beyond anything I could do. But, like, you know, it's only a silhouette being represented there.
That's right.
That doesn't have to go into detail.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like the biggest letdown was really those tentacles.
It was.
And unfortunately, it's the first one you see as well.
Yeah.
So it sort of, like, sets the tone. You sort of already just go, ah. Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
It takes you out.
Yeah.
Really. I agree. 100% agree.
Yep.
That's basically all I had for likes. Have you got anything else?
Nah, man. I'd pretty much go with that.
Alright, I've basically said all my dislikes as well.
Yep. Again, so would I.
Before we wrap it up, let's talk about the monsters, like the creatures.
Yes.
Favourite monster, go.
Favourite one?
Yep.
Probably actually the little bugs.
The fly...
Yeah, the little, like,
ones.
Insect sort of, yeah, stingy ones.
The fly scorpions.
Yeah, the fly scorpions, that's right. Yeah, I reckon they'd actually probably be my favourite, man. Because, like, the big ones, like, you know, tentacles, obviously, well, fuck, probably fucked against them. But,
yeah.
And the big crab thing, yeah, you're probably pretty fucked against that. But that being said, the crab thing also, both times it appears, kills one person and walks away.
Yeah.
It's like it's satisfied with that.
Do you know what that big crab thing reminds me of?
What?
Have you ever played Abe's Odyssey?
I was just thinking that.
Bullshit.
I shit you not. That's exactly what I was thinking.
We're very similar today.
Agreed.
This is strange.
It's throwing me off. But yeah, I reckon the little flying scorpion things, man, because, you know, the big, like, you know, the big things, they fought it off with a fucking flaming mop. Still
yeah.
But, like, you've got more of a chance against them. Those little fucking flying ones, they could be anywhere. Like,
yeah,
they're still big, but, you know, they come in a swarm, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You are so fucked.
Yeah.
And just one little sting and that's it. You're going to die.
Now, correct me if you think that I'm wrong, but those big flying pterodactyl birds.
Yes.
I was saying to Jaleesa, like, when it's walking towards the sun, I'll be like, I could take that bird. I reckon if I spear tackled it and just ripped open its mouth, I reckon I could take it. Hence, I don't know how sharp the beak is. Maybe it would rip off my fingers. True. Still, I feel like I'd have a chance with that.
You've got more of a fighting chance.
The flying scorpion things, I don't want to touch them.
No, that's right.
They creep me out.
They creep me the fuck out. Or you've got the spiders.
That's mine.
Also fucking cool. Very cool. Yeah. I like the whole acid web kind of...
Yeah, you know, okay.
...idea. That's
dude,
pretty fucking cool.
Okay. It had the acid web, and did you see its face?
Its face was sick.
Kind of resembling Predator in a kind of similar
bit.
Way.
I do get that.
Yeah.
I do get that.
Yeah, its face was fucking gnarly.
Its face was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll give it that.
So that's why spiders are mine. Plus, man, oh.
The spiders are probably cooler, but, like, I like the bugs, because, like I said, they're probably the one I would least want to be against.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, I got to go with the spiders, only because, like, when I went on Mrs. Carmody, they can leave you alone. These spiders were ruthless fucking things.
Very true, very true.
And they lay their babies inside of your body.
Yeah,
fuck
that. Was
that.
Fucking cool.
I don't want anything inside my body.
Yeah, anything you see like that with a scene, it's like my crawling under someone's skin before it comes out makes you shiver a bit, eh?
Oh, dude.
Ugh.
It's fucked up. All right, well, we've basically said all we can about the mist, so...
Pretty much.
Let's...
One other just random side note. You know when they're in the supermarket and that siren first starts going off?
Oh, yeah.
Do you always just wait for Corey Taylor to start speaking over that siren? Anytime I hear that siren in anything now, I just wait for Pulse of the Maggots to start. This is the year where hope fails you!
I didn't even think of that, actually.
Turns out the mist is just actually a massive opening to a Slipknot concert.
Just creatures from other world come to watch.
It's just
Slipknot.
People in masks.
That noise, like that siren, really like it unnerves me.
Yeah,
and it doesn't like a lot
it's
of movies,
you know
like,
shit's always about to go.
Yeah,
down.
It doesn't in Halloween as well and stuff like that.
Yeah,
imagine if we heard that like where we lived.
What would you do, bud? You'd hear the siren, you'd be like, something's wrong. But I don't know what it is or what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to sit here.
I'd probably lock myself in my horror room and say, take the kids, not me. Because I'm a fucking asshole. And I can run faster than the newborn, so...
Fair enough.
All right, well, let's come in with our final thoughts and our score on The Mist. You want to go first?
Yep, I'll just come in with my score straight up. I am going to give this an 8 out of 10.
Oh, shit.
I reckon it's fucking damn near perfect. Ooh. There are a few little flaws that put me off giving it any higher of a, score than that.
Uh-huh.
But I really, as I said, when I first started watching it and I thought it was supposed to be about the mist and the monsters, I found it started dragging only a little bit until I sort of more caught on to what it was going to be about.
Yeah.
And that really intrigued me. I really wanted to sit there and watch what was happening.
Yeah. So you and me have basically been on the same ledge this whole episode.
Yep.
So basically, I don't have to say anything more because you just said my last thoughts and my score.
Yeah.
I'm also coming in with an 8 out of 10, as you can tell.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, well, don't bother now because we just spoiled the shit out of it for you.
Yeah, it's your own fault. We told you to watch it at the start.
Yep, that's right. If you have seen it, go watch it again because it's fucking fun. Go hate Mrs. Carmody. Go be creeped out by spider and scorpion flying things.
Yep.
And along with that, let's talk about another movie in What's Under the Bed reviews.
Let's!
Yes.
Under the Bed reviews.
All right, Benjamin.
Yes.
Did you hear the news?
The boys are back in town?
No. Very good. You know the movie Cloverfield?
What? Cloverfield? Yes.
Yeah. Did you hear about Cloverfield?
No.
So basically what they did, you know they got the found footage film?
Yes.
Then they got 10 Cloverfield Lane that came out in 2016?
Yes.
So Netflix dropped a fucking bombshell on our heads. And because we knew that there was another one coming out this year called God Particle, so it was the Super Bowl on Monday here in Australia.
Yep.
And Netflix unleashed a bomb saying, "Hey, after the Super Bowl, check out the new Cloverfield film." So, it dropped on Netflix like that afternoon.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. So this isn't what I'm doing as a review because everyone's talking about it, but I just want to give you my two cents. This is a sci-fi film, not a horror.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's got like very, very minimum horror.
Yeah, minimal horror tones
to it. I will tell you this much. It is a very, very well done film. Very well done. Well, very well acted. Everything is really, really good. Except the story. I found this boring as shit. I was struggling to finish this movie. I really...
Oh, really?
It just wasn't... They had a movie, right? And then whoever was funding it said, this would be good, but let's add a few extra scenes here and make it a Cloverfield film. Yeah?
Okay.
It's exactly like that. You don't see alien or very little aliens.
So they just tried to like rope it into the series.
Pretty much.
Very loosely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So,
That's disappointing.
Yeah, so I just wanted to give a quick update because I was going to do a bigger review on the Cloverfield Paradox, is what it's called.
Yep.
But everyone seems to be doing it, so I thought I'd do something different. So, yeah, nice. I gave it a 6 out of 10 because it is a well-made film. It's just not one I would ever watch again.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But the movie I'm doing tonight, or if it's today, whenever you listen to it, is called Victor Crowley. Have you heard of the Hatchet series?
Yes.
Okay, so I enjoy the Hatchet series, and I know our good friend, the Big D, Darian Brock, is not a fan. But this is to anyone here who is like me and is a fan.
Yay.
So, okay, the story is that the director, Adam Green, I'm a big fan of Adam Green's stuff. I really like what he's done. The story goes that he was going through a rough stage because there's three Hatchet films out.
Yep.
He was going through a rough stage in his life. He got divorced to like the hottest chick ever. His dog died and he was just going through a rough time where he was thinking about quitting everything. But it wasn't until this was a couple of years ago, he was talking to George Romero, the godfather of zombie films and independent cinema, who told him to keep it up because you have fans here that love you. Anyway, it came to last year where it was the 10th anniversary of the first Hatchet film, and they decided to screen the first Hatchet film in the cinema where it first aired. Anyway, before they did that, so they got heaps of fans because Hatchet does have a bit of a fan base to it. Before they did that, Adam Green went up on a microphone and said like how he was going through a rough patch in his life, and that George Romero gave him some words of wisdom, and basically you're all here to see the first Hatchet film, but that's not what you're watching. You're watching a new installment. Which was it's fucking, if you can hear the audio on YouTube and stuff like that, and people's reaction is like, oh, I wish I was there.
Nice.
But I got a chance to see it. So let's just give you a little bit of a synopsis. So, 10 years after the events of the original movie, Victor Crowley is mistakenly resurrected and proceeds to kill once more. So we have in the cast, Parry Shen as Andrew, he returns from the third one, Kane Hodder, who plays Victor Crowley, Laura Ortiz, yeah, that's the one, Rose, who plays Rose, sorry. Dave Sheridan, who plays Dylan. There's a bunch of other stuff. Oh, sorry. Felissa Rose, who plays Kathleen. Now, you'd know that name if you do. She is the killer in the Sleepaway Camp films. So basically, a lot of people don't like... This is why Darian doesn't like it. Because this series is like the Expendables of horror. All these films, you have... So in the first one, you've got Robert Englund. Of course, Kane Hodder, who I mentioned. And you've just got, like, the second one's got R.A. Miller Hoff, I can't pronounce his name, who plays Leatherface. So you've got, like, all those kind of things, like, nods to other movies. And I feel like a lot of people don't like it because of that. I like it because it's fun, it's funny, and the gore is at an all-time high level.
Fuck yeah.
Now, with this one, okay, my likes is, it's fun in a way. It can be funny. And it has a bit of a rewatchability.
Yep.
My dislikes is this one tries a bit too hard to be funny. Unlike the first three, this one takes its comedy up to a bit too much.
Oh,
now, the first one, it's only scenes in it where you laugh. And that makes it count when you laugh at it. This one is like every second thing. It's just you trying too hard. The acting and effects
ain't the best.
Now, the first film, the effects are great. Some of the kills in it are shocking. In this one, even I was watching it in Jaleesa, and there's the first scene where Jaleesa's like, is this a movie in a movie? Like, is this meant to be meant to be bad? And I had to agree with her. I'm going to tell you right now, this is my least favourite in the whole series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is a really, really disappointing. I'm not saying that this isn't worth a watch, though. There was some decent gore in it when it got to it, but you could tell that the production value in this movie is a lot cheaper than the first three films. It's only a very small movie. Basically, you've only got the three locations in the whole movie. In the first one, you've got basically the whole of New Orleans. In this one, you're reduced to a little bit of a swamp and a plane.
Oh.
Yeah. Now,
that's getting a bit average.
Yeah. Is it worth a watch? If you are a Hatchet fan, then I'd say give it a go. To me, it's my least favorite in the series, but give it a go. If Darian, you don't have to bother with this. You're just going to bitch and whine about it, and I don't want to hear it. So if you're not into the Hatchet series or Victor Crowley, you won't like this. For me, I'm coming in with a 6 out of 10. Okay? It's enjoyable. There's a lot of bad stuff in this movie, as I said before, but in the end, like, I will watch it again as just a dumb fun turn off your brain film.
Yep.
So that's it for Victor Crowley from 2018 because it's widely released, but it came out in the premiere last year. Fair. So whatever you want to say. All right, well, let's jump into our next segment.
It's alright.
Fuck you, Pele.
You already said coming in like 3 times in your thing.
Oh, shut up. Let's jump into our next segment, The Voice of the People. You're the voice, try and understand it. Make the noise and make it clear. Alright. Thank you, Mr. John Farnham, for your lovely, lovely singing voice. Now, if you didn't realise by now, we didn't put a poll up this week.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. It's because next week, we're bringing you a special presentation.
Are we now?
Yes.
Ooh.
We're coming in.
Yeah.
Are
we coming in?
So, Alan hit us up the other day. What's funny?
I was just thinking, if we're bringing a special presentation where we're coming in, maybe that'll be my favourite sexy movie.
Oh, yuck. Alan asked us the other day if we could show Ben the Greasy Strangler. Now, I showed Ben the Greasy Strangler about a year and a half ago.
That's true, actually, Alan. He did. He beat you to a punch on that one, man.
But we never recorded it.
That's true.
Until
I wasn't
now.
Even actually going to watch it. Remember, we stayed at your place the night before because we all came round.
Yes.
And then you put it on, like, just as Amy and I were sort of getting ready to go.
Yeah.
And then I sat down and you were like, just watch the first 15 minutes. And then I sat there and watched the whole thing.
Yeah, you did. But we'll save our thoughts for next week, because next week we are diving headfirst into the greasiest of stranglers.
Yeah, we are.
But we're going to do it a bit differently, okay? We're not going to do our usual sip on nice ice water and have a good conversation. No, we're gonna be pissed.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to have a few drinks. We're going to have a few guests with us reviewing this movie, because this is a controversial movie.
It sure is, Tim.
You can love it or you can hate it, and I would completely understand both ways.
Yeah, I would agree.
On top of that, Cake Wolf has his own drink recipes.
Yeah, he does.
We've talked about this before on previous episodes, and we've done a few drinks, and some of them are nice. This one isn't one I'm looking forward to, but god damn it, we are doing it.
Yeah, I know, I'm fucking not looking forward to it. We'll be doing it with a bucket, but god damn it, it has to happen.
Basically, on the top of my head right now, I don't have it in front of me, but so it's a shot of Jack.
Yep.
With, you cook sausage and lard.
Yep.
And then you put the shot with the sausage and lard, let it congeal, and Bob's your uncle. Your face says it all, right?
Are we supposed to shot it or chew it?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm guessing the sausage is like a bigger toothpick that you stir. Chicken not stirred. So, yeah, fuck it. We're going to do it. We're going to record that shit so you can watch us vomit.
Yep.
And then we're going to talk about this this gem of a movie. We're going to get... We're going to dive into it.
Yeah, we are.
So, yeah. So, that's what we're doing for next week. And then beyond next week, we'll come back in with our polling system and everyone will be happy and dandy.
Correct.
Yes, correct. All right, Benjamin.
Yes, Timothy.
We have a little spoken word by our good friend Paley in Paley's Music Minute.
Oh, hey, Horror for Dummies listeners. Didn't see you there. Paley back with another edition of Paley's Musical Minute. Did I get it right this time, Tim? Fuck. The Mist. Great. Great movie. That ending is a real kick in the dick. This one I went with just for something different. I went with something heaps metal-y because, you know, I know that gets the boys' dick hard. And I thought a good one would be Overkill, Devils in the Mist. I'd never heard of this track before I started, like, trying to find something, and it's pretty good. It's pretty ballsy. Nice heavy metal song. Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with that. So, yeah, enjoy.
Thank you, Paley, for your beautiful your beautiful message. Overkill are some cool guys. Until next time, Paley. All right, let's kick off with our last segment of the night.
Yes.
What's pumping on Benjamin's iPod this week?
Oh, hot damn. This is my jam. Keep me partying till the AM. Y'all don't understand. Make me throw my hands in the air. Air, 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 air.
Alright, so.
What?
So this week's two songs are not what you'd expect.
Okay.
So, we had a little request from our good friend Cake Wolf.
Yes, we did.
Did you see what he asked us to play?
I did see, but I can't remember.
So this band's called The Average White Band, which is the best fucking name ever. And of course the song's called Cut the Cake.
Yes.
What didn't you know? And I listened to this, and it's actually pretty groovy.
Nice.
I'll give you that. But Average White Band.
Yeah, that's sick.
AWB. What a fucking name. Now, the other song that we're doing is... sorry, I'm just trying to get it up. Now, I wanted to do a song that resembles this movie, and I was searching through YouTube for ages thinking, just typing in songs about The Mist, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing was really coming up. I had this one cool song, but I was like, eh, it doesn't really work. So I started thinking about what does The Mist mean to me?
Yep.
And the one thing that I came to mind is, this movie is a fucking kick in the dick. With that ending.
Yes, that is true.
So I searched up kick in the dick song. And I came up with a song called Punch Him in the Dick. By Juicy Carcass.
Wow.
And I listened to it, and this is full blown. Like little. What's that dude, Lil Wayne?
Yeah.
Kind of like that. So what? It's rap. It's full blown rap.
Yeah, okay.
But it's fucking awesome. And it reflects this song perfectly. So, I'm going to play it for you.
Nice.
Punch Him in the Dick by Juicy Carcass. So, this is going out to The Mist, because god damn, that ending is one hell of a dick punch. Do you agree?
I would agree.
So yeah, we got Punch Him in the Dick by Juicy Carcass and Average White Band with Cut the Cake.
Yep.
Not exactly what you would expect hearing from Horror for Dummies.
Not so much.
No.
But that's what we like to do here. We like to mix it up and keep you guessing.
Exactly. So, before we go, Benjamin, do you have anything else to add to this week's episode?
Not really, Tim. I feel I've said what I needed to say this week.
Yeah. We've been on the same fucking walk, on the same pathway.
Yes, we have this week.
Yeah.
It's been beautiful.
Basically in a green. Yeah, it's been nice. It's been different.
I know. It was strange.
Before we go, please rate, review our Facebook page if you have not, or the iTunes feed. It always helps. If you want to get in contact with us, it's horrorfordummies@hotmail.com, or just check us out on the Facebook page. Or if you know us personally, just email us and tell us what's up. If you want to say hi, or if you want to show us your tits, do that.
Yeah, we're cool with that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Only girls, though. Oh, no, do it if you're a dude.
Yeah, come on, send them in, fellas.
Yeah, yeah. So, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with, along with vomiting, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's coming.
Yeah. We'll be back next week with the Greasy Strangler, dedicated to the one, the only, Alan Cha-Cha! And with that, we're out this bitch. Punch him in the dick.
Bye!
Punch him in the dick,
what?
Punch him in the dick,
what?
Motherfuckers talk shit, I'ma punch him in the dick,
blah!
Punch him in the dick,
punch him in the dick.
Motherfuckers talk shit, I'ma punch him in the dick.
Yo, look at that chump, see the way that he struts. Don't kick him in the rump, go nuts on his nuts. Just pop a squat,
start letting off the shots.
Like knock, 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 just go cock this cunt.
To all the cock knockers,
nutcrackers,
ball breakers,
Peter beaters,
keep on boxing the baby makers.
Put a sock to the jock,
better make that a double.
Just a couple rounds of knuckles beneath the buckle and he'll buckle.
If you're in trouble, give him some urine trouble.
Hand him his balls until he better learn to juggle.
Turn his pebbles into rubble,
make him wonder what might have been.
Break his out of sound, but never rise again.
Now every man claims to be the toughest and the meanest.
But watch it crash, cause soon the losers will be the wieners.
And the winners in all the gladiator arenas
are always the ones that go straight for the penis.
So punch him in the dick,
what?
Punch him in the dick,
what?
Fuck a talk shit, I'm a
punch him in the dick,
blah!
Punch him in the dick,
punch him in the dick.
Motherfucker talk shit,
I'ma punch him in the dick.
Punch him in the dick,
what?
Punch him in the dick,
what?
Motherfucker talk shit,
I'ma punch him in the dick,
blah!
Punch him in the dick,
punch him in the dick.
You motherfuckers talk shit,
I'ma punch him in the dick.
I'll give you Willy a welt like you ain't never felt.
Soon as I've knelt, I'ma pelt you below the belt like bang.
Bust him in the wing like it ain't no thing.
Now he really can't hang.
But you ain't gotta be a dude, should I dick punch a chick?
Cause I don't discriminate when I punch him in the dick.
Whether Susie Homemaker or a floozy homewrecker,
I'm a decker in the pecker, motherfucker.
It could be your mama, better be no drama.
You could be the Dalai Lama, I'ma still put it on you with a right, left, yo, dick punched.
Then you say, goddamn, my shit's crunched.
Scrotum, hella damn near killed him. I don't care if you live in Baltimore, forget about children.
You ain't got enough kung fu to bust some ninja shit.
Fuck Sun Tzu, you wanna learn the art of war?
Punch him in the dick,
what?
Punch him in the dick,
what?
Fuckers talk shit straight, punch him in the dick,
blah!
Punch him in the dick,
punch him in the dick,
motherfuckers talk shit
straight, punch him in the dick,
yeah!
Punch him in the dick,
what?
Punch him in the dick,
what?
Fuckers talk shit straight,
punch him in the dick,
blah!
Punch him in the dick,
punch him in the dick,
you motherfuckers talk shit,
punch him in the dick!
We got a brand new
kids be talking shit. I'ma drop a fist on your naughty bitch. I got punches of pitiful. You bet your rear end it'll sting when I start swinging on your genitals, cause then it'll swell up all out of proportion, looking like an eggplant forced in through your foreskin. Never mind abortion, forget vasectomy. I got your birth control, pow, nut check, homie.
I punch God in the dick,
I punch Mary in the dick,
I punch Jesus Christ in the dick.
Yo, I punch Cheney in the dick,
I punch Powell in his colon,
I punch George in his bush,
I punch Condoleezza Rice.
Punch him in the dick,
what?
Punch him in the dick,
what?
Motherfuckers talk shit straight,
punch him in the dick,
blah!
Punch him in the dick,
punch him in the dick.
You motherfuckers talk shit,
well, I'ma punch him in the dick,
blah!
Punch him in the dick, punch him in the dick, motherfuckers talk shit straight,
punch him in the dick,
blah!
Punch him in the dick,
punch him in the dick.
Motherfuckers talk shit,
yo!
Punch him in the dick,
I'm to punch him in the dick.
Watch me punch him in the dick,
love to punch him in the dick,
born to punch him in the dick, forever punch him in the dick,
sucker punch him in the dick,
fruit punch him in the dick,
Hawaiian punch him in the motherfucking dick.
sitting on the side. Cut the cake, I want a leg piece, and you can keep me satisfied. Go down, son.
Microphone now. No, Tim. Just me. Tim's getting a chicken out of the oven because he doesn't want to burn the house down. I feel like that's a solid choice. Then again, chicken fire could be pretty interesting. What do you think? Not much. You're a microphone. But I'm going to keep talking to you anyway. How's things? Been standing around much? Working hard or hardly working, am I right? Yeah, I'm right. What's up? Yeah.
Who are you talking to?
No one.
That was strange.